It is good, good indeed, to be in God's house this evening. Let us together now gather our hearts as we receive the call to worship tonight, which is from the book of Exodus, chapter 15. Exodus 15, the first three verses, a song of Moses. Then Moses and the people of Israel sang this song to the Lord, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Amen.
Amen.
Please now take up your hymnals as we join in singing hymn number 304. 304, open now thy gates of beauty. If you're able, please stand to sing. If you will, please remain standing and turn back to hymn number 132. Wondrous King, all glorious. 132.
Oh, yeah.
You may be seated.
Now let us come to our great God in prayer. Let us pray. Our loving, eternal Heavenly Father, we come into your holy presence on the eve of this your day, and we do thank you, O Lord, for this day that you have blessed us with already. Lord, what a great and a glorious God that you are, that even in creation's order you set this day apart for its holy use, that for God's people to come and to worship and praise you. And Lord, even as we've raised our voices this evening in song, as your word will be read, as it's proclaimed in a few moments, O Lord, we pray that each of us, man, woman, boy, and child, would glorify and magnify you. O Lord, who is worthy of praise but you? You indeed are all glorious. You indeed are a sovereign God. And you indeed are victorious over all. And we come before you, our great God, and we ask that you would meet with us this evening. Lord, we pray that you would send forth your Spirit to encourage the hearts of God's people this evening's hour. Lord, perhaps to cut us where we need to be cut, to encourage, and Lord, even for salvation to come to a lost sinner. This evening we come before a God who is a three times holy God, a God who is living, a God who hears and answers prayer. And so this evening we ask, O Lord, that you would hear the cries of your people. As we come to worship this evening, we are conscious of our sins against you and against fellow man. Lord, even that which we will think upon in a few moments, our eyes desiring and wanting things that are not you. Lord, we pray that you would enable us and help us as only you can. Lord, may it be that we would realize our dependence upon you. Forgive us when we try to live our Christian lives as if we have it all figured out. We pray that you would enable and help us with pride and arrogance in these days. Lord, help us to be a humble people, a people who hunger and desire for holiness, a people who hunger and desire for true repentance of sin. Lord, we pray that we would not play fast and loose with our sins in these days. Even that which we heard this morning, that we will give an account. Lord, we pray that we would be living lives that are pleasing to you in accordance with your word. Lord, if we're here tonight and that is the contrary, we pray that you would forgive us for our sins. Lord, even forgive us for our, at times, lack of enthusiasm and joy and delight, even on this your day. Lord, we pray that we would have hearts and minds that are fixed upon you and not upon ourselves. And so we ask, Lord, that you would enable and help us, that you would equip us in these days to be men and women of the faith. Lord, forgive us when we're not, when our mouths are shut, When there are opportunities to speak of Christ and we do not take them, Lord, we pray, enable us in these days to be faithful to you. Help us to fear you and not man. May it be that your name would be magnified on our lips each and every day. Lord, this evening we come and we give you thanks for those faithful churches, even in our area, who are proclaiming the good news of Christ, proclaiming that gospel message with clarity and power. Lord, we ask that you would encourage pastors in these days. Lord, may it be that you would equip them and enable them to proclaim the truth of your word. Lord, even in these days, help us not to fear man, but to fear you. Even when hard and somewhat difficult passages may come up, Lord, help us to be faithful to your word. Help us to be bold as we proclaim the riches of Christ. And Lord, we pray that you would guard these shepherds' hearts in these days. Men who are faithful to your word, we pray that you would guard them, that you would protect them, that you would hedge them in with yourself, that good news would continue for the weeks and days and months to come, O Lord. We think of those who are even on the front line as missionaries in these days. We think of those who have sacrificed, as it were, the comforts of home to go to far-off lands to proclaim Christ. For those, O Lord, who painstakingly take and inscribe that wonderful word of yours into another language, Lord, we pray for each of them that you would encourage them. Even in days of hardship, even in days of difficulty, may it be that you would draw near to them, that they would be lifted up in these days and to be bold in the proclamation of Christ. We pray for those that translate. Lord, give them clarity of mind in these days. Even with all the checks and balances that need to be done, we pray that you would sharpen their minds, that the word of God would be translated correctly and in order. Lord, this evening we come and we pray for the needs of our own congregation. Lord, we pray for those who are sick, those who are even suffering with bereavement and grief in these days. Lord, we ask that you would be that comforter, that you would draw alongside and encourage those who are struggling on the pilgrim way. Lord, we pray for those who are in need of medical help, O Lord. Again, we pray for Charlotte, and we marvel at this little one and the life and vitality that she has. And, O Lord, every time we look at that little girl's face, we are reminded of how good a God that you are, that you spared this little one. But, Lord, we pray even now that you would save her soul. What we pray for her, we pray for the rest of the young people in our congregation. Lord, you have blessed us with many young people. Lord, what a blessing they are to our souls. What an encouragement they are as we meet with them and talk with them. Lord, we pray for those that know you, that you would be near to them in these days. Difficult days. Days of trial. Days of temptation. Lord, guard their eyes and their ears, and guard their fingers and their hearts as well, O Lord. And even us who are further down the road, O Lord, press it upon us to encourage them in these days. May it be that we would draw alongside and read and pray. And as we walk this pilgrim path together, may we do it to your glory and honor. And so, Lord, we pray for our time together this evening. We ask, O Lord, that you would encourage us. Even a difficult and a hard passage this evening, pray, O Lord, that we would be receptive to your word, that we would not balk against these things, but that we would take the whole counsel of God. And may it be that you would encourage us in our Christian walk. Lord, meet with us. Encourage our hearts, for we ask it in Christ's precious name. Amen. Please turn in your Bibles to our consecutive reading in the book of Psalms, Psalm 110. Psalm 110, and we're going to read together the entirety of the psalm. It's inscribed a psalm of David. If you're able, please stand and let's read God's word together. Psalm 110, beginning at verse 1. The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord sends forth from Zion your mighty scepter. Rule in the midst of your enemies. Your people will offer themselves freely on the day of your power in holy garments. From the womb of the morning, the dew of your mouth will be yours. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord is at your right hand. He will shatter kings on the day of his wrath. He will execute judgment among the nations, filling them with corpses. He will shatter chiefs over the wide earth. He will drink from the brook by the way. Therefore, he will lift up his head. Amen. This is God's holy word. Please be seated. As you do so, please turn in your copies of the scriptures to Exodus chapter 20. We're continuing our way through the 10 words, or the 10 commandments, as people like to call them, which we've noted before are the summary of God's revelation of his moral law, that which God gave to his people on Mount Sinai. This evening, we come again to the second tablet of that law. We've noted before that the first four commandments are on the first tablet, and the second six are on the second tablet. We noted that that first tablet pertains to our duty to God, and the second is our duty to our neighbor and our fellow man. But the two are related. As we've seen all the way through, the first four commandments directly pertain to our relationship with God. The first command tells us that we're to have no other God. The second, that we're to worship the one true God in the way that he tells us to worship him. The third tells us that we are to treat his name with reverence. And the fourth commands us the day in which we are to worship. Going to the second tablet then, that fifth commandment turns our attentions to our horizontal duties. The first four obviously are our vertical to God, but the last six that we've been looking at go across the horizontal. Honor your father and mother. Do not kill or do not murder. And as we looked at those two commandments, we were reminded that although it's on the horizontal plane, it truly starts with the vertical. Tonight, I want us to see the very same thing again. We may look at this command and think, well, it's only on the horizontal, but it's actually on both, as all commands are. And so let us read together Exodus 20 and verse 14. You shall not commit adultery. Amen. That is God's holy word. Our culture struggles. It struggles mightily with the sin that is forbidden in this commandment. You don't have to go too far around to see the relevance of God speaking this moral law for even the day that we live in. The very idea or notion of having a commandment on sexual purity is something that the world either sees as passive or irrelevant or unwise. Many have said, well, we can keep one or two. Do we have to keep them all? Yes, we do. People have said concerning this command that can everybody do their own thing? Be their own person? Doesn't it look terribly unwise and idiotic to have this commandment? Remember, God is a holy God and a wise God. And you don't have to go to the shady parts of town. You don't have to go to the sin cities of the world, as people would call them, to see how relevant this command truly is. It's a sin that we struggle with in Placerville, California. It's a sin that we struggle with, perhaps even in our own congregation. We can struggle with it both explicitly and implicitly, both outward and inward. This command, brothers and sisters, is relevant for us all. And it's oh so important at the outset of this message that we don't fall into that trap that America would have us to believe. My religion is a private matter. It's between me and God. People have said, you know, don't get too close. Don't poke around into my personal life because that's between me and God. And you have nothing to do with it. As I've been preparing for this command, there's been a theme that has been running up to it. Some of you may have got it, some of you may have not. But in opening up Psalm 26 for a number of weeks during prayer meeting, and reading Psalm 139 one Sunday morning in our all-age Sunday school, the psalmist asks time and again, search me and know me. Perhaps you've heard it said, keep the government out of the bedroom. We don't want the government making laws and enforcing laws about our private lives and our choices. They have no business with doing that. Whatever the logic of that particular view is, it's very clear that God is interested in our homes, in our marriages, in our relationships as husbands and wives. As God's children, we should be willing and open to be searched and known. God puts a claim on every area of our life. He says, you are mine. Not in a harsh, mean way, but in a loving Father. In my word, I have given you those standards for behavior for every area of your life. And every area of our life even includes that between a husband and a wife. How is your relationship one to another? Because how your relationship is between a husband and a wife is a very good indicator how your spiritual health truly is. Remember, this way and that way. This evening, as we open this up, I want to look at it as in two ways. I want us to think of covenant loyalty to God only. And then secondly, practical applications given by Christ in the New Testament. First of all, covenant loyalty to God only. Throughout all of the commandments, there is a theme of loyalty to God. God is teaching us here that as believers, those who confess Christ as their Lord, we should have loyalty to God and God alone. And here in this command, he expresses it in a loyalty to our spouse or our future spouse only. Think of going through the rest of the book of Exodus and Leviticus. The records that are on there of purity. Time and time again, Moses will write down, inspired by the Holy Spirit, to write down on purity in this regard. As the Holy Spirit helped Moses write those things, it was a concern for our purity, for our families, and for the honor of God and the covenant community. We have here a very strong negative. It's very brief, this command. It's even longer in ours that we read tonight. Basically, it composes of two words, a bit like no murdering. We now have no adultering. And this strong, strong negative that's given here is perfectly sensible to include in the Ten Commandments. This is a problem. It's a problem in our day and age that is rampant, and it's even overtaking the church. There can be few men, even in this congregation tonight, perhaps who are regularly tempted to that lust and impurity. And here we have this practical word of God given to us. Not to make us blush, not to make us ashamed, but to know that we need the Word of God to guide our steps every day. It relates to us covenant loyalty. The Old Testament teaches us, and the New Testament confirms, that marriage is that covenant relationship between a man and a woman. And I need to stress that again. It's not all the different facets that the world would say is okay. If a marriage is anything other than one man and one woman, then that marriage is wicked and an abomination in the sight of God. And I pull no punches saying it. In a day and age When you can have every which way combo you desire, God says one man and one woman should be joined together. And as that marriage takes place between that man and that woman, there is a loyalty. There is a covenant that is made between those two individuals. That spouse is to be explicitly and exclusively loyal to her husband, or the husband to his wife. What has God asked for in the first four commandments? Covenant loyalty to Him. He even in the first four commandments lays out what this is to look like. Worship no other gods. Worship me the way I have commanded. Reverence my name. Honor my day. And here he says in this commandment, just as you have covenant loyalty with me, so you should have absolute covenant commitment to your spouse. He calls us to be pure one to another. What metaphor does God use time and time again when Israel falls and is disloyal to Him? He calls Israel that adulterous nation. Why does He do that? Because again, He's showing us husbands, He's showing us wives, that this covenant requires commitment. And when we violate this in any way, we violate it even with God. Paul spells out in Ephesians 5 that marriage is to be a picture of the union that exists between Christ and His church. And so I ask you this evening, how is your marriages? Do you care for one another? Do you long to be with one another? Do you find pleasure in one another? In Psalm 51, verse 4, when David was caught in that sin with Bathsheba, it's very clear to us, knowing the whole story, that he had sinned against Uriah, her husband. But as David cries out to God and seeks forgiveness, what does he say? Who is the first person he turns to? Against you. You only have I sinned. Is David praying that to Uriah? No. He's praying it to the God of heaven above. That which he has done is disloyalty to God and against His covenant. He wasn't denying that he had sinned against Bathsheba. He had. He wasn't denying that he had sinned against Uriah. He had. But he was affirming first and foremost that his impurity struck at the very loyalty with God. Do we understand that this evening? We can think that this command is in the horizontal. First and foremost, it's in the vertical. This command here protects the family. It's designed to protect the integrity of the family. And in our day and age, what is under attack more than anything else? The family. family is being pulled this way and that way. It's being torn apart. Here, God calls us to the fire. Protect the family. Protect your commitment to me, your loyalty to me, and your loyalty to others around you. It's very clear that Satan is attacking the church and the families in these days. And if you don't understand or know that, then I urge you to waken up. God calls us here to purity with one another. Moses is teaching us here in Exodus 20:14 that our activity between husbands and wives says a lot about our love for God and our loyalty to Him. And so I ask you this evening, do you love the Lord? Where does your loyalty lie? It can either be with yourself. Is that you this evening? Are you only interested in about me, 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 and I? Is it all about your own pleasures? All about your own gratifications? And tonight I urge you to take care. Be wary of these things. Those of us who are believers, how is our loyalty to God? Did we come up those stairs this evening in a half-hearted manner? Did we come up here thinking, well, if I don't come, someone's going to hunt me down and figure out where I was? Or did you come because of a love for God and His Word? Did you come with a sense of loyalty to Him? All to Him I owe. How is our relationship with God this evening? Because secondly, this evening we're going to look at some practical applications from Christ. Please turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. Verses 27 through 30. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. That which we read in Exodus. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with a lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go into hell. Here Jesus, in all of his wonderful preaching and teaching, makes it perfectly clear that Jesus is concerned for believers. He's concerned that as Christians we live a life that is holy, that is pleasing to God. But it comes in two folds. It comes in our outward life, but it also strikes right at our inward, our very core. He's telling us here that it's not enough just to abstain from physical adultery. It's not enough to abstain from physical fornication. Jesus wants us to be pure in our hearts, in our thoughts, and in our thinking. He's telling us that there is more than one way to break this commandment. You have heard that it was said, "You shall not commit adultery." Just because you haven't done things physically doesn't mean that you have kept this commandment. There is more than one way to break this command, and Jesus goes right to the very heart. Everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery in his heart. These are sobering words. He says, consider lust. I entitled my sermon, "Oh, Be Careful, Little Eyes, What You See." Our children will know what I'm talking about. It's a song that they sing downstairs. And it reminds us that our eyes can see many wonderful, beautiful things, but they can also cause us to lust after things that we shouldn't. Remember who Jesus is talking to here. He's talking to these Pharisees again. These Pharisees who are so hard on physical adultery. Those who would stone and kill others who had committed this crime. He looks them in the eye and he says, "Very well, but how is your heart? Consider your heart." Christ takes the issues right to our very core. Right into our desires, our thinking, the things that we yearn after. And he tells us that if we lust with our eyes, it affects our hearts. Consider your own heart this evening. Look what Jesus does. Christ here is preaching like that preacher with hell, fire, and brimstone. Because what does he do? What does he connect? He connects it with hell. He knows how powerful this sin can be. People who are caught up with this will do everything to deny that they have a problem. A dear friend comes along and they push them away and say, "I can deal with it myself." Brothers, do we know how each of us are doing in this regard? When was the last time as brothers we asked each other, "How is your eyes and your heart?" Not only that, but about any sin that we can perhaps struggle with. When was the last time we called a brother out on being proud or arrogant? Having lying lips? Hearing words that would make us think they have murderous intents upon their heart? Or do we do what a lot of people do and bury their heads in the sand and say nothing? That's not being a faithful brother. We need to help each other with these things. Be accountable to one another. You see, Jesus' ultimate concern, it's not our moral purity, it's our salvation. He realizes that these sins, they can take a hold of the heart and they can separate us from God. But the Word of God tells us that if we come to God and we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us. If you're struggling with these things this evening, then run to Christ. Run to the only one who can help you. Run to the only one who can help you with these desires and these yearnings. He tells us it's better to cut your hand off and throw it away, to pluck your eye out and cast it away, than to stumble. There are several things that we need to discuss. Jesus deals with sins of deadly consequences. And this evening, there are several specific applications to these things. The first one, that is the most rampant thing in our day, is pornography. It is so readily available for every man and every woman. We see it on our television screens. We see it at times when we go to the movies. There are books we can buy. We can see it on billboards. Even in our community, we can see it also. And there's that little plastic device that's in your pocket. They can give you access 24/7. Pornography is a pervasive problem, and it is a challenge in these days. There are over 300,000 internet sites, and there are 200 added every day. These are serious things. This is a problem for men and for some women. And it's a problem in three particular areas. When you've allowed your eyes to go back to that book or those pictures or that film or that website over and over again, you have committed the sin of idolatry. It divides the heart from God. It divides the loyalties of your heart. Instead of being undividedly loyal to the one true God, You love yourself. And you love your own gratification in something that is not God. In fact, something which He has forbidden. Well, be careful, little eyes, what you see. And there's a second thing that goes along with pornography, and that is secrecy. Those who are engaged in viewing or partaking, they don't run around and announce it to everyone. They don't talk about it with their wives or their friends or their buddies, with their parents or with their children. They hide it. They are concerned to hide it, and that secrecy leads to a divided life. During the day, you are that upstanding citizen. And yet at night, when your wife perhaps is asleep, perhaps your family is gone, you live a life that's completely opposite. A divided life cannot stand. You cannot serve God and yourself. Some will say, well, you know what? It's only watching. What harm could it be? If you're there this evening, I urge you, repent. As men of common confidence to me who have struggled with these things, it began at a young age. They started off and they'd watch and it would begin to snowball. And then suddenly they'd be at the bar and they'd meet a woman. And they think in their mind, well, if I can get away with this in the secret place, surely I can get away with all of these things. Careful, little eyes, what you see. Because finally, it's isolating. It teaches us to seek our gratification alone. When God meant that experience to be with your wife or with your husband, it makes us pull into ourselves and we become so isolated from those around us. We become angry. We demand that we become the center of everything that is done and said, and we ask people to worship, as it were, the ground that we walk upon. Wives, this evening, is that any markers of your husbands? If so, draw alongside. Pornography is a powerful problem, and it is rampant in our day. Men, are you taking precautions? Are you asking your wife to keep you accountable in these things? If your wife was to grab for your phone, what would your reaction be? If your internet history was to be put up on the screen behind me and all the searches that were done, could you have that done? Do you have an open door policy on the devices you have and even the places you study? Man, be careful, little eyes, what you see. We need to take precautions in this area. I ask you, are you doing that? Are you living a life that is pleasing to yourself and not to God? Then tonight I urge you to repent. Run to Christ. Run to the one who said these words in the book of Matthew. Do you think he was saying it just to fill up some empty space? No, he knew the temptations. And here he's saying, man, young man, be careful. Be careful what your eyes see in these days. Something else we need to touch on tonight. Something that in our day, just as pornography is growing rampantly, so is immodesty in our culture. Are we dressing in a way that's provocative? Young ladies, but also young men, how are we dressing? The world we live in, the clothing is getting less and less. As a parent, it's oh so difficult to find clothing, even in these days, for my own daughter. Everything is so tight, so cut, so low, that it leaves nothing for the imagination. Men, fathers, husbands. When was the last time we said to our wife, sweetheart, I don't think that dress is a good idea? Or you said to your daughter, sweet daughter, I'm asking you, please don't wear that. Men, are we being faithful? Are we being that head over our wives and our daughters to protect them? Not in a mean-spirited way. Not in a way that would have our wives to look unattractive. I love my wife. I love what she wears. But there should be that relationship that if something is low, if something is inappropriate, that we are faithful to our wives and our children and our daughters to say, it's not a good idea. We're not being mean. And if you are, then cut it out. But we're told to respect our wives and to love them. This is one way we can show it. Wives, young women, how are you receiving these words? Are we willing to listen to our husbands and our fathers in this regard? Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Thirdly, young man, Are you being loyal to God? Are you being loyal to His word in these days? Some of you are coming to the age of, Lord willing, hopefully asking a young lady in the hand of marriage. How are you doing in this regard? The world that we know in these days, when a young man would ask a young woman out, there is no intention for marriage. The world would say, well, it's another notch on the bedpost. Young man, when you ask a young lady out to court or date or whatever you may call it, the intention should be to ask that young lady for her hand in marriage. To, in the months to come into a covenant with her in the future. Let me ask you, is that your intention? Is your intention to keep her pure above all else? This command tells us to be pure in what we think, in what we say, in what we do, and in ways to help others to do the same. Friends, the world and our church and those in here, we need help in this. We need mutual accountability between parents and children. Young people, if your father or your mother asks to see your device, it's not because they hate you. It's because they love you. As parents, we are told to bring our children up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Here the Lord commands us, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Husbands, wives, are we being accountable to one another? There is a saying that was going around 15 years ago that was above our bed that we lived in the Ockham Road in Macrofell. And it said, always kiss me goodnight. Men, are we loving our woman as Christ loves the church? Women, are you loving your husbands and respecting them? Are the two of you being mutually joined together as what God has called a wonderful thing? These things are not gross or anything else. They are a gift and a glorious thing from God. Never use it as a weapon against one another. Always kiss me goodnight. Men, are we finding faithful brothers who we are being accountable to? Are we talking openly with one another about our struggles in this area? Are we holding them accountable? Young people, do not think that this is something to play with, to explore with zero consequences.
My father would always pray in this regard, that young men and young women would not experience the dirty cisterns that this world offers, but that they would be pure. Young people, I ask you, what are your eyes watching? What are you engaged in? What are you looking at when no one else is around? Would you be willing to show that to anyone at any time? This is not an area to be played with, just as none of the commandments are. But there's hope. There is a remedy for this. In May 28th, 1835, a young lady wrote a poem. She would go on in her life being a mother. She was engaged in housework. She was engaged in the tasks of the home. One day, she realized something. That she needed Christ every hour. Seated by herself by an open window, she was reminded that sin is rampant every day, of every hour, of every minute. But Annie Hawks knew to write a poem that reminded, and that which we're going to sing, that we need to be close with Christ. If you're here this evening and you think that you can do and keep this command by yourself, I urge you, beware. Take heed lest you fall. In the second stanza, she would write, I need thee every hour. Stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Are you tempted this evening? When you go home, will you take the fingers out of your ears and continue to live life as you have been? And temptation comes and you give into it. Then just as we were urged this morning, I urge you again this evening, repent and believe. Come to Christ. Come to the Savior. None of us in this room can keep this command ourselves. In fact, we cannot keep anything apart from Him. As we think upon this command and upon all the commands, think upon this verse as we close. I need thee every hour. Teach me thy will, and thy rich promises in me fulfill. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come into your presence and we ask that you would enable and help us. Lord, forgive us when we have transgressed this command or any of your law. or any of the things pertained in your word. Lord, we pray that indeed we would be careful in these days with our eyes, that we would be careful what we see, that we would be careful what we do. Lord, we pray that you would guard us and protect us. Lord, help us in these things as only you can. Forgive us when we have transgressed against you. And Lord, enable us to live lives that are holy and pleasing to you. Lord, we ask for those that know you not, those that perhaps have no time for these things, who enjoy the pleasures that this world has to offer. Lord, we beg of you, even if they're not even in this room this evening, wherever they might be, that still small voice would come to them. That you, O Lord, would speak to them no matter where they are. Lord, we pray that you would save sinners in these days. Lord, encourage us, even as we leave. Help us in your word this week. May it be that we would live lives that are pleasing to you. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Please turn in your hymn books to hymn 710. Hymn 710, I Need Thee Every Hour. Let's stand and sing to God's praise. People of God, receive the Lord's blessing from his holy word. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Amen. Go in the Lord's mercy and grace.